You're listening to the Party in the Back podcast with John Kudo. The Party in the Back podcast is brought to you by Mascot Link. Connect with your biggest fans now with Mascot Link. In-seat visits, VIP experiences, holiday deliveries, and paid scoreboard messages. Mascot Link's powerful software gives you the tools to create memories for fans while generating revenue for your team. Visit mascotlink.com. That's mascot-link.com to get started.
Welcome to the Party in the Back podcast. If sports marketing was a mullet, the business in the front would be forecasting budgets and measuring ROI, but the party in the back of that mullet would be short-form storytelling, mascot history lessons, and trashy mascot skits. And we are here for that fun side of sports marketing on the Party in the Back. I'm your host, John Kudo, and we're pulling back the curtain on how the most memorable game day moments are made. For more than 35 years, I've been immersed in the world of sports presentation, from mascot performance to producing large-scale events. I've worked at that intersection of strategy and spectacle. I bring experience from college to the NBA and global brands like Nike and WWE. Now I'm focused on shaping the systems, content, and the community that bring fan experiences to life here at GameOps.com. We're a hub for ideas, tools, and conversations like this in the game operations world. On this monthly podcast, we talk to the people building the fun side of sports, like fan activation, stadium storytelling, and creating lasting memories for fans. Don't forget to check out our homepage on GameOps.com for all our new content and featured content. But first, let's get this party started with our first guest, comedian and podcaster, Keb Pound. So welcome to the Party in the Back podcast, where the fun side of sports and entertainment always takes center stage. Today, we're bringing a guest who proves you don't need hours to make an impact. Sometimes you just need 60 seconds. Keb Pound is a comedian and the creative force behind the Stupid History Minute podcast, the show that dishes out quirky, hilarious, power-packed, insightful histories of everyday things in bite-sized episodes. He's an author, stand-up comic, and a guy who's turned digging rabbit holes of research into laughs and aha moments for thousands of listeners. He hosts the most bingeable podcast in the world, 1 minute at a time. Keb breaks down overlooked the ordinary and the ridiculous of everyday parts of life. We're going to talk about what makes short form comedy storytelling so powerful, how humor can transform the ordinary into the unforgettable, and how those lessons connect directly from sports, from mascots to game presentation, and the challenge of grabbing people's attention in the TikTok era. Woo, that's a long-winded introduction. Welcome to the show, Keb Pound.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Hey, and you're joining us from Jacksonville, Florida, which is a nice area. I just got the little lowdown here. You got a little beach, you got the waterfront, and you're born and raised there.
Yeah, the only problem with it is that it's still hot, you know?
It's gotta be.
It's still 95 degrees and it's still raining every day, you know? And they tell me it's fall, but you'd never know it down here.
Yeah, we had a hot one in Cleveland. I'm like, how is this fall? It's like 90 degrees and I'm sweating everything I do. So, well, Keb, tell us a little bit about the Stupid History Minute, which is a podcast, which again, it's a minute long, which is great. When they say it's the most bingeable, I think I listened to like 20 episodes today. What made you decide that the world needed these 1 minute doses of history?
Well, I've always been a history guy. It's what I went to school for. And I've always kind of been think I'm funny type of guy, you know, as you alluded to, I do your stand up, but a lot of times stand-up isn't something that you can let like everybody listen to. It's a very, you know, acquired taste. And my type of humor is a very acquired humor. It's nothing like the Stupid History Minute. So I wanted to do something that kind of blended the two. And I listened to a lot of history podcasts, and just one right number one, they're like an hour and a half, 2 hours long, and then it's just like, come on, man. And it's just like, how many times do we have to beat to death JFK assassination? You know, it's just like, you know, how many different angles? You know, I'm gonna take another.
Wait a minute, I gotta call you on this. You have one. You have. Oh, I know. I've listened to your JFK assassination.
Oh, I know. I know. I do. And I was like, you know, you heard my theory though that I made up. You know, I mean, you hear the two. Anyhow, so you have these, you know, how many times do we have to, you know, talk about the Zodiac Killer? Yeah, guess what? No one caught him. You know, spoiler alert. So they're all like really long. And all these hosts who I was listening to, they all think they're Walter Cronkite. You know, they're just like, I'm Walter Cronkite. You know, and so I'm like thinking, and I was telling my wife, and I'm like, I want to do a history podcast, but I don't want it to be long. And she's like, well, how short? I'm like, I'm thinking like a minute, 90 seconds, somewhere in there. And she literally looks me in my face and she goes, that's stupid. And I said, that's what we'll call it.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, what are you going to talk about? And I said, I don't know. And then I looked over on my kitchen table and there was a Ninja blender box. And I said, the first episode's going to be the history of the blender. She's like, where are you going to get that? And I walked over to the bookshelf and I got the almanac. And I was like, there's got to be something about a blender in here, you know? And I found, you know, did a little, you know, research and all this. In these early episodes, they're very, you know, bland, but they're very, you know, I mean, just very vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, and
find your voice at some point, right?
Nothing like they are now.
Well, it's funny. We talk a lot about in game presentation with mascots and or with hosts, it's just getting the reps. And what I love about your story right there is you're just telling me you don't do one a month. You're doing what takes you a minute. So you might knock out a bunch of these. And I was going to ask you what your favorite episode was, but actually I want to talk a little bit about how you structure these. And I'll use the mascot one as an example, since that's what caught my eye. You did a stupid history moment about a bunch of the mascots, but that's what you tend to do. You kind of find a grouping and then you'll do like 10 different ones inside the grouping. Do you have a favorite grouping that you have?
I don't have a favorite grouping. The conspiracy theories were fun just because of the back and forth with my audience. And it was now, I mean, we're 1200 episodes in. So I call them series, and we do like a month at a time. It wasn't always like that, you know, but sooner or later I knew that we're going to run out of everyday items. You know, there's only so many you can do about a lampshade or a pickle or, you know, things like that. But the conspiracy theorists were fun every August. I'm a sports guy. I'm a heavy sports guy. I watch it all the time. You know, when we get off this, I'm going to be on Monday Night Football. I was on Sports Talk Radio for 6 years. So I'm a huge sports guy. So every August, I do a whole month of sports stuff. And 4 years ago, we did, you know, stupid times that happened in sports, like Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield's ear, you know, things like that. We did all the baseball stadiums. I'm a huge baseball guy. Last year we did stupid sports like, you know, chess boxing and things like that. And this year I was talking to one of the guys that runs the network that I'm on, and he's like, well, what about mascots? And I'm like, that is a fantastic idea. And I said, you know, and if you listen to the first episode of that series, I actually give him a shout out. It was like that. I really liked the mascots. I thought it was fun. The conspiracy theories. See, what these series do, especially now, like right now, we're at the end of September, and I'm doing cartoons. You know, all these people who are Gen X are remembering these cartoons. Like, I'm 50, so I Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, Scooby-Doo, you know, Looney Tunes, you know, all the G.I. Joe, Transformers.
You got me with the Super Friends today. That's the one I popped in.
Oh, man. And, you know, what's funny is that came out like the night after I watched Superman, the new one. And with these, the activity between my audience, especially on like Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it, you know, Facebook, the back and forth with these series and talking about, you know, how people remember these. And that's really what makes my favorite. The conspiracy theories, man. I had people seriously trying to convince me the government was controlling the weather. Yeah. And I'm like, look, man, two things. Number one, they're stupid right in the title of the show. Okay. Number two, I'm just giving you history of the conspiracy theory. I'm not trying to convince anybody that they're not, right. You know, I mean, you know,
not taking sides here.
No. And if they only, I'm going to give you a little exclusive. I haven't released anything as yet. If they only knew on November 1st, I have a new book coming out about one of those conspiracy theories, then the history thereof, they're going to freak out. It's going to be a whole different ball game.
We didn't know there's a book tease coming in here. This is great. So Kev, I have a question for you because this is my dilemma. I actually love history too. I took a lot of history in college, but I have like zero long-term memory. So I forget everything. How much of this stuff do you recall? Like when you record, you have an episode on the Fanatic and the Chicken and Gritty and the Timber Joey. Do you remember this stuff or is this kind of like in one ear and it's lost?
I do remember some of it, you know. I had never, when I went to make a list in the process that we take, it really takes us 3 weeks out of the month to do a process of like a series like the Mascots. And I have a team because I have a 20-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old son, and they need volunteer hours. So, you know, we kind of look at this and I do retain a little bit of it. Like I had no clue who Timber Joey was, and now I do, you know, but I kind of know where it's going because I know that, you know, when it came to Mascots, the Famous Chicken was going to be the very last one. You know, Blooper, Jackson DeVille, you know, Albert, they were all going to be in there because I'm a Braves, Jags, and Gator fan. Yeah, but Philly Fanatic, I hate the Philadelphia Phillies, but the Philly Fanatic had to be in there. Mr. Met, I knew just from my baseball knowledge that was the first mascot period, first live-action mascot period. So even older than the Famous Chicken, which a lot of people think. The Famous Chicken is the most famous, you know, and it traveled around. That's why people know it as much. So, but yeah, I do retain. I like learning things on it, you know, when we do the research and then we plug in my what we call buzzwords. We have words that people have texted us that they don't like me to say because I either say them wrong or I say them too often. So we try to put those words in every episode just to bug people. And it's fun to us. And look, this whole thing might be just funny to one guy, but I think it's hilarious.
There you go. Proving the audience of one. I love that. I love that.
And that's like a lesson for anybody who wants to do stand up and anybody who wants to be in sales. I'm in sales and marketing in a company that I have an interest in. I've been doing it for a long time. And the one thing I could tell you is that you can't sell anything unless you believe in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same thing with joke telling, unless you believe in it. Believe the joke is funny to you, you're never going to be able to make anybody else laugh because that's your true. Persona, it's just like telling a dad joke. You know,
in sports, we talk a little bit about the water cooler and we have this thing on gameops.com where we talk about those moments that get people talking. Mm-hmm. And I thought more about what you do in the 1 minute, which is, you know, like you said, it's kind of a shtick. It's kind of like that's the framework if you have it. But in a lot of ways, it's the same way as a game presentation director or a mascot or a dance team. They have about 60 seconds to come in and kind of make something happen, make something memorable. So do you have like a secret sauce as to how you think about things, how you want to position things to make something that's like some historical fact that's just maybe mundane and making it unforgettable? Do you have like a hook, kind of a set of tools that you work with?
What I try to do when we look at a topic is I try to flip whatever angle is popular about it. So what that means is like nobody remembers the polished, boring version, like from history class. But people remember like the weird details. Like I could tell you Napoleon was short. You probably heard that. Or I could say the guy conquered Europe in the time that it takes us to pay off a car. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay. You know, and the same with sports. Like fans don't remember like like a mascot choreographed dance number like they have in Philly. They remember like he tripped over the popcorn vendor and face planted into the band, you know? I mean, like the Stanford thing years ago where the guy runs into the band. People remember that. And I think that the, if you will, magic in finding that one detail that makes people go, wait, what? That's what they're going to be talking about at work the next morning. Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. So when you position this, whether it be the podcast or your stupid history book, what did that process teach you about how people consume? And again, we kind of think now about TikTok and Instagram where everything's just bite size. And so in a way, your podcast is very timely. But how does that make you think about when you're creating those things? Like, what's that process, and how do you whittle down what's the kind of the wheat from the chaff, if you will?
I think, well, let me, the first thing about, I think people have short attention spans.
I know I do.
And I mean, the reason I picked it 1 minute, I tend to go to extremes for things, you know, and I've told people that, hey, you could listen to this thing backing out of your driveway and it's over. There's no reason not to listen to it, you know, and then if you can learn something, but it's kind of like I gave myself like a shot clock. You know, kind of to get so much different than stand up. Like you have 60 seconds to like set it up and, you know, get the punch, you know, going, or people are going to flip over to the office ladies, you know, or something like that. In stand up, you got a room to, you know, wander a little bit. You have setups, you have callbacks, you make them do crowd work. You know, with Super History Minute, there is no wandering. You know, it's like, say the joke, Kev, say the joke, you know. And the joke, a lot of times, is not necessarily what's coming out of my mouth. It's the subject matter, you know, like the book. The book reads like a history book. We spent a lot of time, 2 years, trying to make it sound like a history book, but you're reading the history of a paperclip. You know, so, but that short form, I mean, it keeps me sharp. If you can make somebody laugh and learn in under a minute, that's kind of like, you know, when you, I don't know if you played basketball or not, but I played in high school. Like if you hit a 3-pointer with, you know, hand in your face.
Yep. It feels all the more spectacular.
Oh yeah.
So if I'm reading this right, you know, you sort of have this template, kind of a boilerplate where you're like, I've got 1 minute, I got to intro what it is, give a couple facts. How much does that help you in terms of just the process? Like, can you just, when you first started, could you dump out 20 of these in a month, or was that a lot of work? And now is that getting easier because the reps and you know the template and you kind of know who you are and what the voice is?
When I started it, I had no clue what the voice was going to be. I just knew I wanted to make fun of people who did what they did on a podcast. So that's where the hello and welcome to the Stupid History Minute, that's where that came from. And then they always say their name. So I'm like, I'm your host, Kev Pound. Today, we're going to talk about this. And we go into it. And then at the end, I'm like, this has been the Stupid History Minute. And then if you listen to the early episodes, I make so much fun of these people, how they say their name. I'll be like, I'm Kev Pound, you know, and then like every now and again now I'll be like, and I am Kev Pound, you know, but it was really making fun of those. I did 30 to begin with, wasn't going to do anymore. It was just kind of a thing, fun to do. And I started getting, like, I had no marketing, no branding on it, no, you know, Facebook or Instagram or whatever. I just had a personal Twitter that I used to just put out my jokes to see if they were funny or not. And after 30s, this guy DMs me. He's like, man, where's my Stupid History Minute for today? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'd actually forgotten that, like what date it wasn't going to be. He's like, man, I didn't get my Stupid History Minute today. So I'm like, all right. And then this company called this podcast app called Good Pods, who was just starting out, they're like, hey, we want to feature your podcast. And I'm like, all right, I guess I got to do more. So they're like 50 more. And that's when I think in that 50, you know, I figured out how many words it needed to be. I also figured out like the proper way to do research on these things, and that for a 1 minute podcast, it really is, you know, quite a bit of work. to do it. I'm very proud to say we do not use AI to do research. We do all of it organically. I mean, of course we use Google, but we read through things to make sure that they're correct. We fact check them. And so now it's really, really a team effort. But to get that, template down, the template. And now, I mean, and you're marketing, so the best way to keep a brand going is consistency, and so I'm big on, I talked to podcast guy. This is my see 2017, so 8th year podcasting. And I was telling podcasters from our network who like to change their podcast art like every month. And I'm like, look, man, you're not making anything recognizable. You have to make it recognizable. And they're like, well, when's the last time that you've changed yours? And I haven't. Now I'll change my social media every now and again, but my official podcast art that's on Apple and Spotify and all that is the same thing, and it's not changing.
Now I feel dumb because in the 10 minutes before I was talking to you, I literally rewrote my podcast introduction. I'm like, hey, I gotta freshen this up a little bit, so maybe I gotta rethink that. So
Now,
good tip there.
I think, for a daily podcast, people know what to expect, and so I don't want to, turn them down. Certainly, I'll throw things in there. I mean, you've listened. I'll throw things in there that, is just a hint of humor. But I got reviewed by an LA service or whatever that reviews podcasts, and I didn't even know that they were doing it, and they reviewed my episode on the envelope, and they were like, the host knows exactly what this is. And I'm like, you're damn right. It's a joke,
I loved it. So I just keep thinking about all the parallels between what you're doing here in that timing, essentially, with skit writing and game presentation, where again, we're given between a timeout for a basketball game. It's 90 seconds, it's 2 minutes. And the way you write comedy and the stand-up you've done. So as a comedian, and you have to land the laugh. You got to find that aha moment in every episode. And now you have to do it in a minute based on your own terms. Does that,
Sure.
how does that challenge compare to like stand up or doing long-term storytelling? Does that parameter limit you, or does it actually kind of make it easier knowing like, hey, I know what I got to do and I know what the timing I have to fit it?
So with stand up, I try to get at least a chuckle every 10 seconds. I'm more of a storyteller, rather than a one-liner guy. I try to get laugh breaks, 10 seconds, 16 seconds, somewhere in there. So it's not very much different, but the way that it's written, stand up versus Stupid History Minute is incredibly different, because I know how many words I have to use for the Stupid History Minute. We've gotten it down to how many words will be in, because if you listen to like episodes 100 to 200, 100 to 300, they're like 2.5 minutes long. I mean, and that was the joke at that time. Stupid History
Totally
Minute.
off brand, Cab. Come on.
Yeah, Stupid History Minute, it's 2.5 minutes long. People would be like, it's not a minute. And I would be like, that's kind of the joke. But writing stand up definitely helps writing the Stupid History Minute and getting things down, just like stand up when I'm doing the History Minute. I mean, sure, we have a copy that I go by, but a lot of times, I'll just say stuff off the top of my head. And I do that all the time in stand up. Drives the people who help me write, my comic buddies, drives them crazy. They're like, you're not telling it right, okay, whatever.
So I'm gonna post a link with all the mascot ones you have here. They're great.
Okay,
I will
cool.
say total appreciation for your selection was fun. And like you said, you had some favorites in there. I already mentioned his name, but on my mascot, Mount Rushmore, I have the very unpopular, not unpopular, but like no one else has this on their Mount Rushmore, but Timber Joey, actually Timber Jim is the one, is his predecessor, is like one of my all-time favorite mascots. Just absolute perfect mascot program up there in Portland. So appreciation for finding that one and adding that to your list there. But I'll post the list of all this and obviously a list to the to your podcast, which again, there's no excuses not to listen to this. They're a minute long.
Yeah.
It's great. This has been really fun, Kev. I appreciate your time.
Thanks.
So if there's an oddball sports tradition, stupid history moment coming up, like the seventh inning stretch, the octopus, do you have one in mind? Is that a series you might think about doing?
It would have to wait till next August. What's funny is that
you're out to next August already.
Oh yeah. Well, August is sports month. So,
sure. Okay.
So that has actually been brought up because there are some, just in my quest to go to every baseball stadium, and catch a game there, I've seen some weird ones. You got Milwaukee, Atlanta has the freeze. Nobody knows about the freeze. They need to know about the freeze, man.
We love the freeze.
Yeah. And, but you know, Philly, they have the best part about going to a Philly game is when it's over. And, you know, same with the Mets. You know, the Yankees, they're nice to you until you wear a Red Sox hat up in there.
And then you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we just figured out from the Ryder Cup how New Yorkers love to heckle people. But, anyway, yeah, there's stuff all around, not just baseball, but I mean, I'm a big SEC guy. I've been to every SEC stadium to see a game, and there are, you know, traditions that people have called traditions now, and they just, how did they start?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why in Buffalo do we throw people on burning tables? Why do we do that? You know, and I just think that that's would be a cool, thing to do.
There's,
you
some know, ripe material out there for you, Keb.
Yeah.
Well, so. I love it. Well, this has been some time with Keb Pound. He's the host of the Stupid History Minute, proving that sometimes the best stories are the short ones, and sometimes the most fun comes from looking at things we all take for granted. 1,200 episodes. That's 20 hours, 1 minute at a time. Big thanks to Keb Pound for joining us. And reminder that whether you're in a podcast, a ballpark, or running in a mascot suit, the real trick is to turning those ordinary moments into something fans won't forget. Check out the Stupid History Minute whenever you get your podcast. And you got a book too, Keb. Tell us about the book.
It's called Stupid History Book, Volume 1. It's been out about 2 years. It's just a little longer form of the first 100 episodes of the podcast. Got a new book coming out. It'll be out November 1st. Stay tuned.
Boy, and I love the smart branding. Volume 1, baby. Tells you Volume 2. Volume 2 is coming on the way.
Yeah.
Hey, Keb, this has been really great. Thanks for sharing some of your time, and thanks for your podcast, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Bill Veeck said, "It isn't enough for a promotion to be entertaining or even amusing. It must create conversation. We follow that conversation at the GameOps.com water cooler. Monday through Friday, look at a moment created by a sports team and see how it got fans talking. These daily posts are a great way to kickstart some creative thinking for your own show. Look for the water cooler text scroll on our homepage or follow us on Twitter for the daily update."
Joining us, October 2025. Why call Rob? Because he knows everything. Rob Wycall, author, legendary mascot performer, San Antonio resident. Welcome back to the Party in the Back.
Thank you, John. That was quite an intro, man.
That's when you don't have an intro written. You just kind of like throw superlatives.
There's a lot of things said there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Rob, I wanted to talk to you because I enjoy it, first of all. It's always insightful. And then got a couple of fun topics that we talked about this in our pre-production call, one of our many calls to make sure that this is seamless content. And I said, hey, remember we talked about how you can make use cams to make your fans the star of the show. And you know what you said back to me?
What did I say, Joe?
You're like, I don't remember that.
No, I do remember, but I want to know what did you garner from what I said?
I garnered that you had some really great insights and I wanted to pick your brain about it.
Well, it's in my book. I speak specifically to that, not specifically using fans with cams, but the fact that people go to a game, the fact that they're there live, they don't want to be just a fly on the wall to watch. They want to be engaged and they want to be a part of that show. You say it much more eloquently, they're there to be that sixth man or whatever you might call it.
Right, right. And I love, so we had a water cooler post that was, it's called Yo-Yo Cam, which is just kind of like this oddball thing that happens. This kid who's really good on yo-yo, he's at a Arizona State University football game, I believe. And they put him on the board and they just kind of make a star of him in the moment. And I just loved it so much. And like you said, it flips the script a little bit. It makes them the star of the show. And I've always thought that there's this ancillary byproduct from this. And that is when you show someone like Christian Yo-Yos, who's the name of this young man, when you show him on there, it just kind of gives fans the green light saying, like, hey, you do something cool. We're going to show it. We want to show you doing cool stuff. And it just sort of primes the pump so that whenever the camera's on you, you're more likely to act crazy, to get into it, to be engaged.
Well, let me ask you something about this, John. So specifically, Yo-Yo Cam, this is a kid which oddly must just carry a yo-yo in his pocket at all moments, but was really good with a yo-yo. They hit him, he does his thing, and you and I, when we spoke, we talked a little bit to the point of the validation that he got, right? That he's the star, people are cheering for him, that recognition and validation. But there's also, hey, there's just the fan cam. We're going to put you on. You're a quote unquote star for that moment, but you're not doing any skill or anything special. You're just waving to the camera. So I feel like there's a nuanced difference to putting a fan on the camera, on the Jumbotron, or having them do something. For instance, the yo-yo cam, or when you have the opportunity, which I've had happen in my career, where it happens just off the cuff, or we've planned it, but where there's almost like a dance competition. You're hitting fans, all of a sudden somebody's dancing. Oh, hey, somebody else starts to, and now you just start going back and forth with those two. Now there's a skill, right? Now they're going off, and so there's a nuanced difference. I want you, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, I think in any case, like you said, this is, I don't know if it's a plant. I think they knew he was coming and they put him on there and framed it up for Yo-Yo Cam, if you will. But again, I love the nuance there where it's like, yeah, you can just do fan cam or you're rolling the crowd. But if you have somebody doing something special to put them on there, and again, it's a signal. It just kind of like tells fans, you do something interesting, we're going to share with everybody. And so again, to me, it's just that psychological trigger that just says, hey, the camera's on me. I need to do something interesting. That's gonna acknowledge what I'm doing. And like you said, get the crowd into it, get people reacting to it. And it kind of makes them the star of the moment. And if you do it in the setting, like you said, where you have like a dance for your dinner competition where like two dads are dancing each other or what have you, again, if that just like shows fans, this is what you do when you get on the camp. And I think that's a really important, it's almost like kind of teaching fans what you want by affirming when they do what you want.
Well, it also gives that extra special opportunity that you're at the game, that you have an opportunity to have some fun with it. You're not just sitting in the stands. It's not like being at home. I know we used to always think we want to make it special that they're at the arena. Right, the live is different than watching it on your TV at home, and how can we differentiate those as best we can? And that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to let fans know, again, if you want them to be engaged, they have to be signaled that they're part of the show. They're not there to watch. They're there to interact and be part of the show. And I think that's a really tight nuance. And again, you do that not by telling them, but you do by showing them. So when someone does something interesting, you feature them.
Was just remembering, John. Sorry, but we used to. So there was this usher, and one time, the camera hits this usher during a fan cam, and the guy starts going off. You would never imagine, sort of a heavy set older man, but he starts dancing and going off. Everybody laughs. It's funny. So then it was like, we can't make this a one-time thing. So we then. I think I went up next to him as the mascot one time and we danced together. And then we did an usher cam. So we would do usher cam, but the fun part of that was that I would make sure the other ushers, nothing. Like they're laying, you know what I mean? You get like usher cam and the guy's just standing there. He does not care, does not want to be a part of it. And then you hit that guy and he goes off, and it just the contrast, but so much fun. We had so much fun with that.
Love it. You know what? I thought two things there. When you said that the stoic usher reaction where the second guy doesn't do anything, I think it's Edmonton Oilers or the Dallas Stars, where they really get into their cams and their state. They're very thought out and very elaborate. And sometimes what they're doing is they're filming somebody essentially before they're on the cam, so it's not live. So you could be dancing with that usher, and then they go to a shot of another usher, but it's pre-taped. Just,
Yes.
and in other
Oh,
words,
right.
they have no chance to react because they're it's taped. And so, in other words, as you cut back and forth, you know what you have in the second one. It's static.
Yeah,
He's never
that's
going to move. He's
actually
never
pretty
going to dance.
smart.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
I always wanted to do a skit for years, in which they were doing a fan cam and Rob Wykall gets hit in the stands. And I go off and dance, right? I go nuts. I only, but we show it during a game, right? It's pre-taped. And I always wanted to do it just because I wanted to see what my boss would do, because I didn't
Wait a
want to tell him.
minute.
And he would be like, wait, what the? Where is this? One of those bits I never got to do.
Well, I think back, we're kind of wrapping up this the yo-yo cam piece. I think back to when movie clips and the rights to movie clips and using them were kind of cut off. A lot of teams either just hard stop using movie clips. And I always thought that was such a great moment in the industry because, again, it forced teams to be creative. It forced teams to find other ways. And as I talked through, internally, my point was like, listen, this is our chance to make the stars not Brad Pitt in a movie clip or not Jim Carrey doing the mask in a movie clip. It's like make our fans the stars and let them know that we're looking at you to add value to the show and to be a part of it and essentially be some of the entertainment. And again, once you prime that pump and show fans, hey, you do something great, we're going to showcase you. Again, that lends itself to the next guy when he gets up there, like, well, I better do something here. And again, people get a little more engaged when they know they're going to be rewarded.
Well, also, obviously, you talked about the yo-yo cam. Somebody knew this kid is a really great yo-yoer, and they built it around the kid, right? Versus the other way around, that hey, we have this cam and somebody just comes in and happens to be a good dancer and it's funny, or the usher just happens to get hit and dances. But that's a great lesson in knowing, like, what do you have at your disposal? So in your city, you might have this person that's really good at X, right? That you can showcase that fan and do it in a way in which people never realize, you don't make it so obvious, or you don't make it just, hey, everybody, bland. Did you know that we've got John Kudo, who happens to be the best jump roper in the country? But
Right,
you do it in a different, fun
little less
way.
canned. I love that forethought and the attention, like on a cam. To we need like obviously anything can happen on a cam. It can be magic as you get those moments that are just organic with the crowd. But the next level is to be like making sure that might happen, but just in case we've got something, our ace in the hole. And I think about this. We had a woman in town here. She was one of the American Gladiators. Just this jacked woman and like
Oh,
really, really
yeah.
muscular.
Was
And
she the
so.
blonde one?
She is kind of no, not pure blonde. She's like kind
Okay,
of a
there's a
yeah.
boober.
Valerie is her name. I think her name
I'll look her
is
up later.
Siren. I think her
Thank
name
you.
is Siren. You're welcome. Anyway, so when we had Flex Cam, they brought her in, like just gave her seats and like, hey, we're gonna come do a Flex Cam. And again, it's like you could have some fun moments and people get up and kids get up and dads get up and all of a sudden the Flex Cam, but then your hook is at the end. You know you're gonna go to Val. You know she's gonna like. Pull up her shirt, her shirt sleeves, and show off her pipes. And so it's kind of a cool moment. And to think about cams in that regard, where you're like, anything can happen, and we're facilitating that. We're making sure that fans know, hey, they should be part of it, engage with the cameras. But just in case, we've got this ace in the hole.
The Rockets used to do a flex cam, and there was this little, like, 10-year-old kid who had no muscles, but he would pull his shirt off and flex and do these like wrestling. So funny. And they would go to him all the time. He was so cute and everybody loved it.
Ace in the
Same kind of
hole.
thing. You knew you had your ace in the hole.
Well, that was our water cooler called Yo-Yo Cam. You can see that in the water cooler section.
But you should
Another.
watch it just to watch the kid yo-yo.
Oh yeah,
He's
of
a great
course.
yo-yoer in real.
And so check that out in the water coolers. Another water cooler that came up in the last week that I wanted to talk to you about because you are a legendary mascot figure. Our friend Slugger in with the Portland Sea Dogs had what was, I just thought, it just a standout, incredible skit. And it's really funny because it's not only like a great skit, but it actually, like, it's building and promoting this internal peace that they have there. So we actually did, we were in Portland 2 years ago, I think, in the summer, and watched the Portland Sea Dogs. They have a great show. One of the elements they have is called the Trash Monsters. And this came about a couple of years ago. I would have to go back and read exactly my notes, what it was all about, but they have these two characters walk around. They're like trash bins, and they walk around and they have this big monster face, and people can put their trash inside this costume as it walks around. So it's like a walking trash can in a way, but it's like this character thing. And Slugger did this great skit where he has this, he recut the music to Trash Baby. And essentially it's like, it's a really funny skit. And if it had nothing to do with promoting these concepts within the team, it's a really clever, fun, engaging skit, great timing, good punchline at the end. The humor's really, really well done and well thought out. So great work by him. But it also does this really cool thing where it's like promoting their use of these trash monsters, which the team does to encourage people to clean up around their seats at the end of the game, or when you walk out, hey, grab your popcorn bin, kind of at, like at the movies, clean up around you. So in other words, they can save money and time and not have to do that as much afterwards. So I love the bit. So Rob, I wanted to poke you about this a little bit. Talk about how valuable that is when you're able to like take a mascot skit and be promoting some in-house piece where it doesn't feel like a promotion.
Yeah, it is well done. And I felt like what really made it well so nice is the guy's a good dancer. Like, he really does a great job of dancing and doing all those moves the Vanilla Ice did. So that was really well done, and the costume and all that. But I would always say, you know, when you're a mascot, anytime you can bring value to a team, right? You want to bring value to a team. And so that is so valuable if you're able to promote something for the team that they're looking to promote, whether it's something coming up in the building, a concert, or the Harlem Globetrotters, or whatever it might be, or this was something internally that they do, the Trash Monsters, and making it fun, not tedious. You just brought so much value to the character, to yourself, for the team.
Yeah. And you touched on a great point there. Like when the Globetrotters are coming to town, it helps your team. It helps your venue when you're able to kind of cross promote and be like, hey, coming up next month, the Globetrotters are coming through town. But to say that like an ad just kind of feels flat. And it feels like then I'm sitting through a commercial. And the notion of integrating that into your show, integrating that into a mascot skit or a performance of some sort, makes it, first of all, entertaining by itself. And then again, it just takes away that, hey, I just sat in a commercial, right? You know, or they're preaching to me again about the trash, you know, taking that, imagine the difference between the Sea Dog saying like, fans, remember at the end of the game, grab your trash and help us clean up around there. That's like, okay, fine. You know, we're part of the package here. Clean up after yourself a little bit, good message. But imagine, think about how different that is when you see it as like Slugger's doing a really, really fun, well thought out skit. Like you said, great dancing, custom music, you know, custom editing. And then you're promoting like what this is, what this does. It makes it so
almost
much
made
more
it
fun.
Like you want the trash monster to come near you. So yeah. you get the opportunity, right? He made it really fun.
Yeah. So that's really clever use. Again, if you haven't seen that, check out the water coolers with Slugger and the Sea Dogs.
Also, because John did a horrible job of describing the Trash Monsters, so you really got to watch it.
The Trash Monsters are awesome. I mean, it's just such an awesome
game. I want to be a Trash Monster, by the way.
Well, Rob,
when I saw that, I was like, oh my god,
you're not qualified. So, but like, keep working hard.
One day.
Those are awesome. The characters are awesome. But just the fact that he put that together, and again, like it's promoting that internal thing all the while being this really great skit. It's really awesome. So check that out in the water cooler as well. And in that water cooler, you'll see links to the High Five Portland Sea Dogs, where you can see the full backstory about the Trash Monsters and four other ways that the Sea Dogs are putting on a great show for their fans.
Hey, John, real quick, before we go, I have a question for you.
You do.
Yeah, man. I know GameOps.com has this mascot link thing going on, and holidays are coming up. So I was going to ask you, what's going on with that, and how's it going, and what do you got coming with
Yeah,
the holidays? Do
for
you, by
sure.
the way, do you promote a Hall? Is there a Halloween
We do a
one?
Halloween. So for our clients right now, we have a Halloween thing where we help package and sell these Halloween visits. So the mascot gets in his van, drives around town, and makes these Halloween stops. Again, much like a Valentine's Day, where you're delivering flowers, Halloween, you're bringing a big bag of candy out to these different addresses. And what we do is help facilitate that. We think about this a lot with mascot Link, and that's, characters, you didn't get hired as a mascot to, do logistics and do routing and do, organize all the details. You got hired because you're entertaining. And so what we're trying to do with Mascot Link is really try to like give you the tools to get out there and manage like these bigger projects that can drive a lot of revenue and manage them in a way where you can focus on entertaining and doing the performance piece, and then we can help with everything else. So for something like this, like the Halloween visits, before you used to have to, build it, sell it, promote it, all those different things, pack the bags, organize the addresses, and then determine the best route to go on Halloween, time out each drive, text every fan. There's just so much going on with it. And with Mascot Link, we have this really great, amazing software. Shout out to our techie, Scott Martin, who does all this stuff. Last year, he really refined this thing. And right now, we help build that page, providing the links and the landing pages to promote all of that for your character. We process the transactions, the full sales, the credit cards. We track those orders. We put them in calendar invites for you. We have an app that handles all that information, so it's all in one place. On the day of, we organize the route, optimize for the most efficient delivery time. We calculate all those times. Then we send out a text the day before to every single fan and says, "Hey, your time is going to be 2:50, and we'll see you then." And then on the day of, the same app helps you trigger it and says, "Hey, you're up next. We're on our way, hopefully at about 2:50." And
Wow.
yeah, so the software is amazing.
Dude, you not only, by the way, I don't think I knew all that. Not only does it help you as a person that you can just be, right? You're, as they say, hire your weaknesses, right? Like you can just be you, who what you do best. But man, it makes you look so much more professional. Thus, the value is so much higher. So whether you actually charge more or not, whatever you're charging, the value is there.
You don't look
Man, that
like a
is cool.
bozo. Yeah,
Right.
it
It's like
is
you're
pretty
just
it's
coming.
pretty
By the
neat.
way, dude, bam, when I was around, it was like you were just sort of doing it all. It was just those things were just starting, right? I
Oh,
think the
yeah.
first Valentine's somebody did it was like, oh, that's a great idea. And you're just sort of making it up. Or we used to do National Night Out where it's like you're doing seven or eight little neighborhoods in one evening. And you're on a map trying to figure it out by yourself. And it took days to logistically try and get to those seven places in one night. It was the biggest pain.
And again, there's opportunity there, like the National Night Out, it's Halloween, Valentine's Day. There's a lot of people that would pay you good money to come and deliver some roses on Valentine's Day to their sweetheart. And now it's like you're able to facilitate it and make that happen and capture some of that revenue that's sitting out there for you. We say here at Mascot Link, your mascot sweats enough. They don't need to sweat all the details. So we try to help out with that. And if you're interested, you can check out the Mascot Link. There's a link on every page of gameops.com, or you can go to mascot-link.com for more as well. So nice setup there, Rob. Thank you.
Well, I feel like I was a mascot too early.
Yes.
I wish I was a
Yes.
mascot now.
I think about this a lot too now that we've taken this over and we do this. Like as a mascot performer, like I use Mascot Link for in-seat visits, and I've literally never done holiday deliveries, mostly because it's too much. The lift is
Yes.
so much.
Oh, yeah. I
It
never did the Valentine thing. I was like, I'm good. I
is a
just
huge
don't.
lift. And so having a tool like this, I think we're getting it over the hump. But again, if you can go out and make, 10 of those visits in an afternoon on Valentine's Day, you can charge a couple hundred dollars. That's a couple thousand dollars in revenue that you can make for your mascot program and for your character.
And we enable you to do that. So I think we're really proud of how this all shakes out. And again, how we can connect mascots with their biggest fans and tap into some of those revenue streams that are out there for you.
Yeah, what a great ROI. Nicely done, son.
Well, I'm going to go look up what ROI
You've
means.
Done one good thing, John. Congratulations.
Well, I've done two good things.
I got to go. I'm going to go look at
I've done two good things, Rob, because I had you on the pod again today. You're always awesome. I appreciate your time and all your insights. And you working on anything we should know about other than you're just pulling your book?
Besides Googling siren? That's what I'm up right now doing. No, man. Of course, the book, I still would love for people to get out there and read it. And of course, let me know what you think. Hopefully it came out as sort of some life lessons is what I meant it to be, but I feel like it's also got a lot of good just mascot juice in there for guys who are in the industry to pull from, and it never really even thought of it as such, but I hope guys become better by reading it. So,
well, for sure.
I just appreciate you having
better mascots. Yes.
Yeah. It takes, you know, rising ships, right? Just everybody being better.
Love it.
Helps the industry.
Thank you so much. I know you got to go and I got to go, but great talk again. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, John.
Don't miss the daily water cooler on GameOps.com. Every weekday, we post a promotion, theme night, giveaway, or an activation that got people talking. Last month, we added over 20 more water cooler posts. It's so important that we have that big water cooler graphic on every page so you can find it, click, and join the conversation. This month at the water cooler, we looked at steins and lederhosen that help bring Oktoberfest spirit to Saginaw. San Jose dressed up for Filipino night with music and food, and the New York football team produced a giant swerve for fans that teased a Taylor Swift appearance and paid off with an even bigger name. See all those at the water cooler. That is a wrap for the October 2025 edition of the Party in the Back podcast on GameOps.com. Thank you for listening. And keep an eye on the homepage and Twitter and Instagram for all the new content each week. I encourage you to visit GameOps.com for the latest ideas, inspiration, and tools to make your show shine. Big thanks to everyone who listens, reads, and supports us here at GameOps.com, and thanks for spreading the word about the podcast. I do have this request. If you listen today, tell one person about us. Maybe it's a coworker, your mascot performer, someone in your sales staff, anyone who would enjoy hearing from guests like Cameron Hughes, Don Castani, or Rob Wycall. Word of mouth really helps us grow. Huge thanks to our producer, the very excellent Chad Gephardt, and thank you for joining us. We'll be back next month on the Party in the Back with more talk and analysis about that fun side of sports marketing. For my guests, Rob Wycall and podcaster Keb Pound, shout outs to Scott Smoot, Mark Grant, and Scotty Garland. This is John Kudo signing off, but please, let's keep the party going.
Like a fish sandwich.
She's like, wait, are you ordering food? No, man.
No.
He's so great. Yeah.